the Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
Now, welcome back. Football show between 9 and 10. Kenny Cunningham back with us then. Ronan Mullen in studio. Hello.
Joe, how are things?
So you, in our little show meeting earlier on this afternoon, pitched an interesting story about the Houston Rockets. The small men are taking over.
Mm-hmm. The Houston Rockets have looked at the paradigm for success in professional basketball, Joe, and they've said, no thanks.
Tall is overrated.
So for the first time since 1963,
yeah,
they fielded a team with no player over 6'6". So the center, like by the term alone, is a keystone figure in a basketball team. And they've basically said, we're going to try and focus more on the small fleet of foot players, notably in this instance, James Harden and Russell Westbrook, two of the marquee players in the league, and try and focus on their strengths, which makes perfect sense. It kind of plays into, we were trying to think of comparisons to other sports. Mm-hmm. Pep Guardiola's Barcelona, quite a small team. He didn't see the need for a robust centre-back partnership, for example, which would have been the mainstay of any successful European Cup-winning team. And they reinvented the wheel, almost.
Small being a relative term of 6'6" or under, but still small in the traditions of basketball. We have John Gonzalez from The Ringer, a regular on the show with us. Hi, John. How you doing?
Gentlemen, thanks for having me.
So, Dallas Mavericks, the side they beat the Houston Rockets, without a player taller than 6'6". I know there were injuries which accounted for this in part. And as Ronan said there, the first time an NBA team has done so since the Chicago Zephyrs of 1963. I think one of the more important points there is the Chicago Zephyrs, what a name.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like some Chicago Zephyrs merchandise if we can make that happen.
So, 6'6" was the line they drew, or the height they drew a line at. So, as I said, there were injuries, so it's not like they have no 6'6" plus players on their roster, but injuries were such that it offered them the opportunity to go without the tall, traditional centre. I mean, what we're talking about here potentially, I mean, we've seen how Steph Curry has changed the game. The three-pointer line came in 1980. Is this some kind of natural, logical conclusion?
This is a really interesting experiment. I think that the Rockets have been trending towards this for years now, where with each successive season, they take more and more three-pointers. They generally lead the league in that category. And then they try to avoid at all costs the mid-range game in favor of getting to the rim and getting to the line. And now with every successive season, they've sort of been more extreme on that front. And you mentioned the injuries, but then they decided before the trade deadline to get rid of Clint Capella, who they had invested in, who was their traditional center, who was a rim-running center, who protected the rim, and seemed like he was a really good fit with James Harden in the pick and roll. But they decided while he was out, hey, we're not going to probably be a contender even with him, so let's lean fully into this small ball lineup, shoot a lot of threes, get to the line, get to the rim, and see what happens in the playoffs.
And he's 6'10", Clint Capella, so he was more of the traditional center height. Is the center becoming less central in general terms?
Yeah, I think league-wide we've seen a trend where the traditional back-to-the-basket center has been largely phased out. Somebody like Roy Hibbert, you know, even 5-6 years ago was a relevant player, even a very useful player in the playoffs, and now is out of the league at 31, 32 years old and is coaching as an assistant for the 76ers. So you see that traditional big man role being, if not completely phased out, then marginalized. But what the Rockets are doing here is, to put it lightly, extreme. I mean, they played the last couple of games at center and power forward, PJ Tucker and Robert Covington, neither of whom are large human beings. They're generally wing players, but have been forced into that role.
So you don't anticipate in 2-3 years' time we'll be talking about rosters with 6'6" players and shorter?
No, I think... So the NBA, to be clear, I mean, you're always going to put a premium on athleticism, on height, on length, guys who have long wingspans, who can be disruptive defensively. But ultimately, I think what you'll see is with Clint Capella, the problem was he couldn't shoot from more than, you know, outside the paint. I mean, he was very much an inside-out player, and you couldn't get him to shoot a three-pointer to save his life. That wasn't his game. So I think that traditionally, that's always been the big man's role, to play close to the basket. But now moving forward, what you're going to see is guys closer to, say, Kristaps Porzingis, who might be technically centers and might have the height of a center, but you're going to see them playing, you know, five out and everybody shooting three-pointers.
And what has been the reaction of basketball purists to this change of tack, John? I know your colleague Bill Simmons put up a tweet last night asking, do people like watching the Rockets? And the overwhelming reaction was no. So is it an unattractive style of player? Why would people be dissuaded against watching them?
So for years, as long as Daryl Morey and James Harden have been a tandem, and as long as Mike D'Antoni has been sort of implementing this experiment on behalf of the organization, on behalf of the front office, it has been, for a lot of people, a boring style, because do you like watching people shoot free throws? That's not something that generally excites people. I like the art of getting the foul and going to the line, but I understand how it bores some people. The interesting thing here for me is this is already in the regular season a very playoff-oriented style of basketball, because in the playoffs what generally happens is you're going to have a lot of ISO basketball. You're going to attack the weakest player on the defense and put them in the pick and roll and try to isolate them. There's a lot of just like, you know, individual freelancing, right? And you're sort of throwing the playbook out of the window. And the Rockets have basically implemented that style of playoff basketball in the regular season. They're just getting ahead of it. So it should be interesting to see how well it performs when the postseason actually rolls around.
And as I said earlier, this change is dictated by the quality of the personnel that they have and the stature. So James Harden and Russell Westbrook, who, like, James Harden's had multiple MVP caliber seasons without getting many MVPs, and then Russell Westbrook is a brilliant stats guy. But when it gets to playoff time, do you think these guys are able to deliver? Is this sustainable to win a championship?
Well, so I'm fascinated to find out. I think, like, again, if you look at their game from the other night when they beat the Boston Celtics, they played all five of their starters, I believe, in the 35 minute range, which is kind of the kind of rotation that you'd have in the postseason. They didn't get anybody off their bench to play more than 20 minutes. I believe Austin Rivers played 20 minutes off the bench, and that was the high for them. So when you have these shortened rotations in the playoffs, it's not unusual for coaches to go with 6, 7, 8 guys rather than, say, 9 or 10 guys. But the Rockets are already doing it, so I do wonder if they'll be fatigued by the time the playoffs roll around.
There is a point as well here where you can only fight the physics for so long. Like, I saw Porzingis, you mentioned, who is 7'3", played for Dallas against the Houston Rockets in this game that is their jumping off point, and he scored, I see, a season high 35 points. So I presume he was looking around and saying, well, this is all very cute and everything, but I'm taller than everyone, so this suits me down to the ground. And that is always going to be the Achilles heel of this system, because we referenced Barcelona in football. You know, one of the received wisdoms in soccer, football over here, I guess, was that you needed a big burly centre half in places, or you needed a certain physicality, and that was turned on its head completely by Barcelona team, all very short, technically gifted. Clearly, though, they're not jumping in the air and contending for rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting point, right? Because, again, it is ultimately all about the postseason, and this team will only go as far as James Harden can take them. But the difference with this team is now when you get into the postseason and Mike D'Antoni might have matchup issues, he doesn't have the option of going to somebody big. He basically has a host of interchangeable parts. And we've already seen that the interchangeable parts that he likes are his five starters, and the guys on his bench are probably not going to get a lot of run. So what might happen when, say, they face the Clippers and the Clippers throw an Ivaka Zubats at them, or San Antonio Spurs, if they somehow got into the playoffs with a LaMarcus Aldridge or some sort of bigger body, who's going to defend them? It's going to end up having to be P.J. Tucker, who's a capable and willing defender, but he's also limited size-wise. So it's something to keep an eye on for the Rockets, because nobody knows how this is going to shake out now.
And it is unavoidable, I presume, that height differential. Like, again, to extend the Barcelona analogy, they dominated games possession-wise. They just owned the ball. So it was very, you know, it's very difficult for people to make the aerial disadvantage count against them. In basketball, there is no obvious tactic to me which somehow mitigates against the massive height differential. It's just going to be a regular feature of any game. Or is there a way of lessening the importance of it?
Yeah, I think what they'll probably do is just what they do already. It's going to be a lot of isolation ball, a lot of pick and roll. If you've got a bigger, slower defender on you, you're going to put them in the pick and roll washing machine and try to shake them off of you and get James Harden and Russell Westbrook to the hoop. And then if the defense collapses on them, they'll kick it out to Robert Covington or P.J. Tucker, who Robert Covington is a pretty good three-point shooter. They've lately used Daniel House Jr. a lot more. Their theory here is that if, you know, they have a disadvantage because of the height defensively, well, then necessarily offensively, they should have an advantage because they should be quicker and faster than some of these bigger, slower defenders.
Well, you know more about it than me. So does Ronan, but this will not work.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. So Zion Williamson, Ro wanted to ask about him as well. Talk to us about this guy. For people who've never heard of him or haven't heard much about him just yet, talk to us about Zion Williamson.
Wow, he's been, I mean, there's a lot of hype about him coming into Duke last year. We saw him play a season at Duke. He looked really good, and then he was injured to start this year. And I guess people sort of forgot about him a little bit because the NBA season is a long one, and there's a lot of storylines. And John Morant has played admirably for Memphis. He's looked really good. He's the leading candidate for Rookie of the Year. But Zion, when he came back from his injury, has just been absolutely gangbusters. He's putting up the kind of numbers at 19 years old that it's rarefied air. I mean, his stats, I believe, from the other night were 31, 5, and 5 or something like that. It was the first time that the only other players who have done it at 19 were LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Luka Doncic. So that puts him in really special company. And the buzz about him at his size, he's not a tall guy, he's about 6'6", to mention another guy who's about 6'6", but he's built almost sort of wide as he is tall, right? And the buzz reminds me of when Joel Embiid came back from his injury when we were waiting for him as a rookie, and everybody went, wow, I can't believe a guy of his size can do the things that he can do. But Zion is doing them at, say, a half foot shorter than Embiid.
Wow. And what kind of character is he then for a superstar at 19? I mean, that can go both ways.
Yeah, I haven't personally interviewed him. I have seen him interviewed. He's done some stuff on our podcasting network with his teammate, JJ Redick, who hosts a show for us. He seems like a really smart kid, engaged, gets it. I'm a little concerned to see, again, he's a bigger guy, even though he's not extremely tall. So I wonder about him carrying that weight and the impact that it might have on his body long term. So you'd like to see him sort of slim down a little bit. But ultimately, like right now, the early returns, it's been a somewhat small sample size, but he's just so dynamic and so athletic, and he can play inside or out. And, you know, the way that he lifts off the floor, his athleticism is just remarkable to watch.
And are people pegging him to be a transcendent sort of athlete in the mold of LeBron James, or is he somewhat off that level?
Yeah, I think that there were a lot of people who were extremely high on him to the point where, you know, they weren't quite as high on him as LeBron. I think LeBron was universally hailed as this is going to be the heir apparent to Michael Jordan coming out of high school. With Zion, people were extremely high on him. Maybe not quite that high, but extremely high on him. And I think so far he's even exceeded those expectations. I thought he'd be really good. I didn't expect him to be this dynamic this quickly, where all of a sudden we're talking about him in the same conversation as LeBron and KD and Luka at the same age.
Okay, we'll look out for him. And Kamir, on the back of the Ringer Spotify news, has Bill Simmons stopped doing cartwheels around the office yet, or where are we on that?
Yeah, he's excited. We're happy for Bill and for the company, and hopefully everything will go great with Spotify.
I'm sure it will. Big picture NBA, how are things shaping up ahead of the playoffs?
Yeah, I think everybody's sort of keeping an eye on that Western Conference playoff race and whether or not the Grizzlies can hold on to it. The Blazers have been playing really well. Damian Lillard has just been shooting the lights out. As you know, because we always discuss this, I'm from Philly, and the Sixers just beat the Clippers last night in a good win for them at a time in the season when any kind of win, good or otherwise, has been difficult for them to come by. So I'm keeping an eye on whether or not they can get in to the top four spots in the Eastern Conference and host a first-round playoff series, because they've been absolutely dreadful on the road. So if they have to start on the road in the first round, might look a little grim for them.
Okay. When's the last time the Sixers were NBA champions?
1983.
Oh, my God. What age are you?
It's I am currently 42, so at the time, I think I was 6.
Oh, all right.
But those Allen Iverson years felt like a championship show. He was the place was a buzz then.
Is that right? That was the place to be then. So what age will you be when they win a championship again?
I hope not too much older. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Okay. Well, listen, great to have you on as always, John. We'll keep an eye on the Rockets and how they go with their tiny team of under 6'6" men. And yeah, we'll talk to you across the next couple of months, I'm sure. Thanks, Emil.
Always enjoy it, guys. Thanks.
Cheers. Thanks. John Gonzalez there of The Ringer.
A tiny team. Can you imagine if they walked in here, Joe?
No. 6'6". Oh, my God. No one's above 6'6".
Yeah.
Is this going to be the future? Is this going to be a thing? Or is this an extreme version of events and one or two players injured and maybe a coach just experimenting as such.
I'm surprised to see so many people railing against someone trying to be innovative. Like, if you try and build up a team, the nature of it with salary caps and drafting, you have to be quite creative with how you structure your roster. And if some certain teams, this year it's LA, seem to have the, both teams seem to have the premium on the top talent. So you have to get creative. You have to think of other ways. If you stack up player for player, position for position, against these much better teams, you're going to lose. So you have to think around the block, and I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah. What is the word on Zion Williamson in your world?
He looks amazing. I think the concern was always physically, as John says, he's carrying a bit of what people might call baby fat. If maybe when he becomes more of a mature physical specimen, he's going to lose all that.
19, John was saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so he'll grow out of that a bit.
I think so, but then...
Muscle weighs more, of course.
Of course, but I think... You just see him pounding around the court and you think, oh, this guy's he's a target man, as we might say in football terms. But he's not. He's freakishly mobile as well. He's all the promise to be, as I said, a transcendent player in this league.
So is he the next in line to take LeBron's throne? Are we talking at that level? If LeBron disappeared and this guy was 2-3 years older, is it looking that way?
Yeah, I don't think there's an obvious heir apparent. For we've been quite lucky in the sense that post Jordan, it was Kobe. Post Kobe, it was LeBron. There's no someone's ready to take that crown. It could well be Williamson, but LeBron James, the way he's playing this year, is going to be around for a little while. Yeah.
What age is LeBron?
34.
Okay. Is he?
And he's going to the Olympics. He took 2016 off. He thought he deserved a rest. Mm-hmm. Probably right.
Okay.
And he's back for 2020. So I'm looking forward to seeing the dream team.
Excellent. Very good. Now, listeners, I won't lie. Kenny Cunningham had the last hour off. He went out and bought us chips. He went to the chipper, he bought chips, he's finished his chips, he's now ready to bring it for the football show between 9 and 10.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.